Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. It's Woman's Day, the day without a woman. That's all I got to say. I don't know. Bye.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Oh yeah, I was trying to sing that hook. I was about to try to sing that ooh part.
It would have been terrible.
I thought better, right. Better of it. Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show where we break down nerd culture and tech news from a black and brown geek perspective. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by my man, Akili Shine.
Yes, sir, man. What's good, bro?
How you doing? I'm good, man.
Queen Latifah.
Let's go,
man. Throwback
from, Ladies First, that was that. That feels like 89 or 90?
Yeah.
It feels like somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. But yeah. So today's that day. Today's the day where women are sort of trying to be heard and making sure that we know that we appreciate them and we do, and we'll have some stories to reflect that as well. Today is a day without a woman. March 8th.
Love it.
So you know we'll see. We'll see how it works out. And I know that my days would not be complete if there were no women working around, walking around.
100%.
Yeah.
Foundation for us.
Absolutely. All. Absolutely. So the tech world seems to sort of is trying to respond to that. There are a lot of platforms and publishers that are doing stuff to sort of speak to that, including MTV, Bustle, Spotify. MTV, does this whole thing where they flop the M upside down, so it's a W, so it's like a WTV. That's pretty dope.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of other people are like really sort of reaching out. You see this sort of online response on things like April Fool's Day. Everybody does something, but it's really good to see the sort of the whole digital community try to. Take note.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I love it. I love the concept. I love the fact that there are a lot of media outlets and corporations that are taking a more political stance to advocate for equal rights and as it relates to women and really all people, all different ethnicities. But I love the fact that women are able to mobilize in such a creative way to be able to speak to specific issues that clearly needed to be addressed and changed decades ago. I mean, we talk about equal pay in the workforce. Like, why are we still having that conversation? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so as we saw months back with the women's rally, just their ability to have the social elements integrated into the activism. I think this is another case in point of that happening, and have the outside companies, like I said earlier, to kind of bring more energy and awareness to that. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I think it's a beautiful thing too. And I think it's just really smart. I mean, I think the the Shakespeare joint, I can't remember, or like Spike Lee's Chirac, which is based on that. But like the whole notion of look, if women went on strike, people would pay attention. And when women speak up, as we saw in the Women's March, people pay attention. It kind of takes it out of the whole red, blue. I mean, obviously, black folks got things to say, Latinos got things to say, but all of these groups have women.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's probably the most powerful way to sort of go at and protest an administration that clearly, administration and a party that has not been favorable to women.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
But another thing that these folks have not been favorable to is, in the dark of night, Trump sort of, made an amendment to his new executive order, amending his travel ban. Did a lot of amendments. His whole thing is like he doesn't want to retreat. It's not, he didn't do a whole press conference. Sean Spicer didn't speak. It was very much done, in a conference room,
right?
Just to make the appearance that he's not retreating. This is a guy who doesn't want to seem like
I'm losing.
I'm going backwards. This is just I'm having some clerks just amend what I already did.
Right,
but
out of control.
A lot of things. I mean, it's a really drastic change to what he did, but a lot of things still remain. I mean, obviously, he took out Iraq as one of the countries that is in the ban, which is both make sense and curious, but makes sense because we have a lot of allies there who are helping us fight the terrorists. So, right. You know, why would we damn them? But at the same time, that is where like 90% of that's the home of ISIS.
Right.
So we're now doing this travel ban to protect us from ISIS, but we're not banning the home of ISIS. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. I'm not suggesting we ban Iraq. I'm just saying how ridiculous the whole thing is.
Like the justification for, you know, why this country versus another country.
Right. It seems more arbitrary than ever now,
super,
right?
Yeah.
It's like, just find the Muslims. You know?
Right.
But the most thing is, one of the things they're going to do that affects us, and which is when you're hearing, you know, Google and Microsoft and some of these other tech companies speak out, is, you know, the U.S. has this sort of fast processing of the H-1B visas for high-skilled workers. So if you're coming over here, you're going to work for Google or a tech company.
Microsoft,
but it's not just that. It's either stuff. I mean, I believe our partner Steve Berry was here in one of those. You come here and you have a very specific skill set.
That's right.
Companies are allowed to sort of like expedite your visa, keep you here, do that. This administration is saying, nah.
Right.
That ain't happening no more. Which is going to have a dramatic effect on our economy and also, you know, how we're able to move forward as a nation.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, especially when you look within the technology industry, a lot of the greatest minds, a lot of the amazing talent is an import. You know, not to say that we don't have amazing minds and talents here in the States, but a lot of it comes from overseas. And so, I mean, to have, you know, not to have the open channel of communication, the open channel of kind of pushing forth those resources, I think does detriment not only to, you know, the tech company, not only to the person that's trying to sustain their family, but just the whole global economy. And I mean, I think it stagnates innovation, it stagnates, you know, our ability to, you know, problem solve. And I mean, I just think in terms of diplomacy, it's a terrible proposition. It's a terrible thing that is happening, and I think it's going to have a lot of damaging effects if it actually sustains. You know,
I agree.
But I mean, we talk about, obviously it's a tech show. We talk about technology. I think it directly affects that industry because I mean a lot of those talents and resources are pulled from those areas.
So, I agree. And so yeah, I think that's the point here. Like sort of like we, you know, what resistance will Trump and the Trump administration get from these giant tech companies? I mean, like he's so business friendly. I mean, it's not just, you know, the fossil fuel industry and the gun industry and the coal mining industry that he has a cozy up to.
Right.
It's also the tech industry. So we'll see how that real,
which is the biggest
there.
Biggest growing industry.
Exactly. So your boy George Assange is back, and WikiLeaks is coming out.
My boy.
And he's they're now talking about some of the tactics, so releasing some of the tactics that the CIA uses to surveil others. And you know, they're basically sort of saying, and I'm curious about the timing of this because it comes on the heels of the whole baseless ridiculous accusation that Trump made on Obama, that Obama tapped his phone.
Oh my God,
ridiculous!
When I heard that, hold on. Keep going.
No, go ahead. It's ridiculous on every level. I mean, obviously, you know, a sitting president doesn't have the authority to tap someone's phone. You know, for the purpose. Like Ben Rhodes did a tweet and said, "You can't do that to protect us from people like you, Donald Trump."
Right. I mean, the president has authority, but there's layers of accountability, and also there's a workflow. It's not, he can't just say tap the phone and it happens. Like,
well, not only that, but he can't even say tap the phone. Like that's not how it works.
Right.
When it works, the other agencies have to be investigating something and have and feel like that there's reason
exactly present to him
and then present that to a federal judge and the federal judge does it and then they'll inform the president this is what we're doing.
Right.
Obama's not like let's see Keely Shine tap his phone
exactly,
like you can't do that.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. So anyway, it's ridiculous. But so Julian Assange has suspiciously released this video talking and these documents talking about the U.S. government's most powerful tools, including the way we use cell phones, the way we use cars. I mean,
televisions.
I mean, it's really enlightening and scary. And I mean, taking all the politics aside from it, what do you think about what's in the content of the document? Maybe you're right not to put our fingerprints in the phones.
Hey, I adamantly advocate that you know, we should have precaution as it relates to our devices that we're connected to, because yeah, we're watching them, we're interfacing with them, but in the real sense, they're watching us and studying us and gathering information, nuanced information from us. I mean, we talk about, you know, the CIA's ability to go into stealth mode where you're not even aware that the TV could be off, your phone could be, you know, on sleep or whatever, but it could still be listening into you, or it could still be, you know, going into the hard drive and getting your information.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's the plausibility of that is very scary, and I think, you know, it's cause for concern. I mean, it doesn't concern you?
Oh, it concerns me. What concerns me about it is that, like, look, the CIA and the government are you have state of the art stuff, and you know, the spy technology is state of the art. But I will say this: I mean, the general sort of hacking community is usually at least a half a step, if not two steps, ahead of the government in terms of what they're able to do.
Right.
So the idea of there are, you know, just rogue hackers out there who may decide, I want to just go get some information from you, that's how I'm going to do it, is a little scary.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, how we safeguard against this in the future, I mean, there's things you can do personally to stop from this. And,
like what?
Well, I'm talking specifically as it relates to you know, you being hacked on your computer and phone, but like, in terms of being surveilled,
good luck.
I mean, just don't say shit.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
start using sign language,
right.
Cards, holding up cards. exactly. Yeah, you know, like the offensive coordinators, like calling all the
exactly.
plays like this.
Exactly.
So we'll see how this plays out. On this Women's Day, or Day Without the Women, Microsoft is doing some cool stuff as well. I mean, they're not just for today, but it's kind of timed for today. They're urging girls to stay in the STEM program, and it's a way to change the world. And that STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. Is that right?
Yeah,
science technology, engineering, mathematics.
Yeah.
So. And which is something that I'm sure, you know, Trump is about to abolish, but it's sort of making a lean towards girls and saying you guys can sort of change the world and you guys should be enrolled in this project. And they have all this really cool sort of VR things and this really cool sort of a rollout that they're doing that's more VR centric, but it's pretty dope.
I mean, I love the campaign. I think it's advocating for diversity. It's advocating for inclusion. You got to think that a lot of the tech companies and a lot of the tech opportunities are filled and dominated by males, white males. And so to be able to have, you know, a program or a campaign that's going to bring awareness to inspire and motivate young women to be able to educate themselves and have access to, you know, different resources and technologies that will help, you know, fulfill their dreams. I mean, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that's the future. Like I think, you know, They don't teach cursive in schools anymore, but they're going to start teaching code. And so I think to have, you know, the opportunity to be able to, you know, start that at a young age for a young girl, I think is great. By the time she graduates from college, you know, she'll have the opportunities that anybody would have. And I think that's necessary.
I think so, too. I want to use this opportunity, as we're talking about the Day Without Women, to sort of segue into this, into our friends at Blue Apron, because, you know, this is an opportunity for all of us men out there to cook
for your lady.
Cook for your lady. Like, you know, cook for your lady, cook for yourself. Blue Apron is a great way to do it. It's a company that I've used and that we like here. It's the number one fresh food ingredient delivery service in the country. And that's just as a standalone, but it also, it's not just about food, it's about bringing you food and recipes. It makes home cooking accessible to everyone, sort of restaurant style, gourmet style meals that you can make at yourself. It's also supporting a more sustainable food delivery system, which is interesting. Like, you know, you can get sustainable food directly to your door. So they're trying to accomplish multiple things here, which I think is very cool.
Right.
But anyway, you can cook some of these meals that they come to you right to your door with brilliant recipe cards that are awesome. Some of the recipes are meals you can cook: salmon piccata with ozo and broccoli, pork chops with miso, butter, and bok choy marinated apple, vegetable chili, baked sweet potatoes and crispy tortilla chips, spicy shrimp, coconut curry, cabbage, and rice. It's way better than just, you're gonna make a pizza or a hamburger.
Man.
So they're doing some really, really cool things. I like this stuff a lot. It's affordable. It's got a variety. It's very flexible. It's easy to use, and the freshness is guaranteed. Here's what you need to do. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free. And with free shipping, just go to blueapron.com/geek. That's blueapron.com/geek, which is us as a Geek Nerd Tech.
That's right.
You'll love how it feels, how it tastes. It's incredible home-cooked meals, so you don't have to wait. That's blueapron.com/geek. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Check it out.
Man, let's go.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out, folks. So,
absolutely.
I was talking about, so, you know, amongst all the other problems that your boy Zuckerberg has, the violence on Facebook Live is interesting. It's beginning to present a censorship dilemma because Facebook Live is Facebook Live, it's the power of the people, but there is now a lot of violence. There's a lot of folks, a lot of fights on there being broadcast, a lot of folks beating folks up in that broadcast. There's a lot of help. There's a lot of people who have been helped, you know, by broadcasting on famous Facebook Live, most famously.
A lot of exposing, rather.
Yeah. Right. So, but it does present some problems. I mean, what do you think should be done, if anything, about this?
Well, let me ask you. Let me throw it back to you. Why do you think it presents a problem?
Well, it doesn't present a problem for society. It presents a problem for Facebook. And Facebook has to then say, how are we protecting our users from content that they shouldn't be seeing, that they can't see, like other words, be it pornography or violence or anything else? How are we protecting our users? Like, how am I, if I'm able to just broadcast some super violent acts or broadcast some pornography or whatever, like, what is my role as a content provider or in protect my people from this stuff?
I mean, but how is that any different than the news? If, you know, a reporter is in the field covering a story and something prolific happens that happens to be violent, like, they're not going to just pull, they're going to go to black.
Well, I think they'll go to black, but I think that the issue there is that the news is governed by the FCC.
Okay.
And there's a body that sort of watches these things and finds them, and there's just penalties, and the internet doesn't have such a body.
Precisely.
And so, exactly. So, so Facebook, as a person who's servicing billions and literally billions of people who are concerned about their kids doing things like that, as CEO, I think these are questions you have to answer.
Yeah, I guess it is a question you have to answer as being a platform that, you know, is ubiquitous and is used by the old and young alike. But I feel like you have your terms and conditions. You're signing, you're saying yes to these terms and conditions, and hey, that's what that means.
Right.
You know, so I think that the fact that it's a portal into these worlds, that's what Facebook provides, is a distribution platform. So whether or not you are of age or if it's inappropriate content, that's up to the parent to enforce.
Right.
You know, so.
I agree. It's a slippery slope, and we'll see how get another thing on Zuckerberg's plate that he has to sort of navigate and figure out how to get through. Back to your favorite guy, from one billionaire CEO of a ubiquitous company to the next, Bezos, coming off of his Oscars, is now taking his focus back to space.
Look at him.
He's got a
coming after Elon. Huh?
he's got his first paying customer for his growing space company. It looks like a French company. Wait, let me make this right. French-based satellites company has signed on to be the first customer of the Blue Origin's New Glenn orbital rocket, which is developed under this campaign, which was owned by Bezos. This is something like he's sort of getting in the game. He's trying to compete with Elon Musk's SpaceX.
He's putting $500 million of his own money, dog. Of his own money.
That's like couch cushion money.
Right.
Again, couch cushion money for your boy Bezos.
Man.
Like $500 million of his own cash.
That's retarded.
So, I mean, it's just exciting to see that my private citizens making the jump to exploration.
I think it's awesome. It's like the space race of, you know, of our days. Instead of it being between Russia and the States, it's between two billionaires.
Yeah, exactly. that is an interesting point. I'm certain that will be the topic of many sort of books and maybe movies in the next 15 years or so. The idea of, like, you have, Richard Branson, and then Elon Musk, and then now Jeff Bezos, all sort of, you know, jockeying to get into space.
To colonize Mars first?
I mean, yeah, it's really interesting.
Amazon colonized it first.
So, I mean, so right now, if you're a billionaire, you had a Bezos, would you throw your hat in the ring? Would you try to get, you know, Achilles Shine rockets going? Or what would you do?
I have a strong infatuation with space. So if I had the money, if I had that $1 billion talk, I'd definitely be, you know, developing in that space. It's the future.
Interesting.
It's the future.
I don't know that I would. I may partner with you or partner with one of these other guys, but I don't know that I'd be, like, have the initiative to do it myself.
Right.
But whatever. let's see. I want to let's Google one. I want to go into, since we're running short on time, unfortunately we can't. I want to talk about that I can't pronounce the name, but Minamu Click has developed these special earphones that are these wireless Bluetooth earphones, which look dope as in of themselves. But I mean, in the era, like just like Star Trek or anything else, you press a button and they're able to translate in real time. That is ridiculous.
That's awesome. I saw the video of this a few weeks back, which is super cool. I think they were in Japan, and I think a woman said something. She said something in English, and I think the Japanese had it in her ear. And then she was so shocked and surprised. She's like, "Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
like we can actually talk." Like,
yeah, that's incredible. I have nothing to say. I mean, I think that this technology was obviously, you know, on the horizon, and this technology was coming. But you saw it in every science fiction thing from the last 40 years. But the fact that we're here in 2017, I actually didn't think that this was possible so fast.
Man.
But, you know, what's able to happen in Google Translate, it just makes much sense. You can take that algorithm and make it into voice recognition.
Right.
Where voice recognition software is nowadays is, you know, is fantastic. So I don't know, man.
Hey, this is a device. This is a piece of technology that's going to make the world smaller, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I mean, it almost creates like a universal language through the technology.
Yep.
It's like there's no really division between language. Like, I just throw these bad boys in, and I'm speaking Swahili to you. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the question. Oh, that's the question I was going to ask you. Is do you think that this we're heading towards a world of one universal language? I mean, this is sort of like, you know, getting into the little arrival territory, but you know,
code, brother, we speak code.
Wow,
that's going to be our language. We speak code.
Really remarkable. I just want to really quickly, so we can get at it in these last few stories. But the Apple iPhone, more speculation is coming out about what it is, and I mean, it's I should say that it is all speculation at this point. Usually, these guys are pretty right because this tech reporting on this stuff usually comes from, you know, some small leaks plus some extrapolations plus some things people have said in the past, and what companies, you know, Apple's acquiring, what technology it seems to be working on. But the newest thing is that they say the Apple 8 will have, or the Apple X, whatever it's going to be called, will have a 3D phone. I mean, a 3D camera.
Right.
And that is the next evolution. I mean, what a 3D camera, as in creating things, you know, shooting things in 3D. Like, that is, I mean, that's on your phone,
right?
That's a CTG, or that's a Change the Gamer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, wow, right? Or no? I mean, is it gimmicky?
I wouldn't claim it to be a Change the Gamer, because it's like, what would be the functionality of it aside from, you know, facial recognition or something of that nature? Like, because if you're creating content for it, don't you need the glasses to see the 3D image?
So yes,
it's like
you
then
do.
You need like an accessory for it, which seems problematic. So I mean,
Snapchat's got the partner with Snapchat. Hey, the Snapchat augmented reality glasses.
So it's
Google,
be the Apple augmented reality glasses.
Google Glass. When Google Glass comes out, you're like, you laughed at us before, but we got it right now. You know, we're gonna get into the Black Mirror contact era. You know, if we have the contacts in, like, you know, so I don't know. It's really interesting.
Well, what's more interesting is if Apple can, you know, reclaim the fame as being the best, you know, smartphone in the market, because right now, I don't know.
Okay. I want to talk about Logan. Logan, the reviews are through the roof. I was fortunate enough to see Logan. Did you get a chance to peep it out yet?
Not yet, man.
Okay.
I wanted to see it today, actually, but we'll see.
Yeah, Logan is probably one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen.
I mean, the numbers don't lie.
I think that it's a great as a film. It's great as a superhero film. It's great as everything else. It plays like a Western. It plays like a good old fashioned Western in tone and everything else. Mangold. I think his name is I can't even get the director's name right. Is it Mangold or Marigold? James, but. What he's done with this is amazing, and the performances from, you forget what amazing actors that Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart are until you literally let them get together and act, and it's just solid. Even get a solid performance from my man Dr. Benton himself. Eric LaSalle makes his dramatic return to the big screen,
right?
Since Drop Squad or whatever that movie was.
Yeah.
Is that the movie? Do you remember the movie?
That's Spike.
Yeah,
I think that's Spike.
He produced it.
Yeah.
It's Spike. But Yeah, so it's a good movie. And what are you looking forward to? Are you looking forward to this one? I'm assuming you're trying to see it.
100%. Okay. I'm a huge Wolverine guy, and I think that Hugh has done an amazing job with this character over the years. And I mean, just seeing like some of the behind the scenes, like I just saw a video of him doing some ADR and voiceover.
Yeah,
like he's just so into it. Like he's literally the Wolverine. Like he doesn't have you know the makeup and the costuming, but he's in the audio booth looking at the film and just all into it, like going hard. Like
I mean, he's aged up in some age makeup in this one, and but. I gotta say, man, like just seeing all the press that he's doing, and just remembering, and just looking at Hugh Jackman, especially when he's out of the Wolverine thing, he's slimmed down and he's back to his sort of like singer dancer Broadway guy. Right. Like, it's not the same, dude. Hugh Jackman is not Logan. He's not Wolverine.
Right.
So to see him walk around and be so like, you know, Broadway singer dancer and then Australian and whatever else. Not that he's emasculate, but he's just. It is remarkable how he turns it on. I saw him on one of those shows, much like you did. I think it's Jimmy Fallon, and they showed a picture, and he sort of went down and did the Wolverine face. And I'm like, dang, he just did the face and it's this transformation, just like that. That's incredible. I said this walking out of a theater, and my boy Steve said no, but this might be an Oscar. Listen. This is an Oscar caliber performance. I'm not saying he's going to get nominated, but it certainly is an Oscar caliber acting performance. I will stick by that.
I won't judge the book by its cover, but that's a huge statement.
The acting in this is superb. Okay. It's an Oscar caliber acting performance. I think if this came out later, in a different year, who knows? I think that it's best supporting for Patrick Stewart and best actor for my man Hugh.
Good luck with that.
I'm not saying it's going to happen because it's so early, but we'll see. More stuff. Bjork has this VR exhibition. I mean, Bjork has always been sort of a way ahead of the time in herself as a visual avant-garde stylist in the realm of like a Grace Jones and some other ones and David Byrne from Talking Heads. She's always done some next level shit. But yeah, she's got this going on, and I have no idea what to expect. But I know that those videos she does with Michelle Gondry are always like make my brain melt. So I don't even want to. I'm almost afraid to go because I don't want to see what's going on in the Bjork world in virtual reality. It might freak me out. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Hey, I mean, I think the creative output is going to be dope. I think it's going to push boundaries. I love the fact that it's integrating obviously with technology. I just think the visual language that you know is being created looks fresh. So I'm sure the experience of it being AR VR is going to even enhance that further.
Last two things, E3 is coming up very soon, and a couple of notes that are coming out of that is Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out. Red Dead Redemption is one of the great, great, great sort of open world video games from the folks who did Grand Theft Auto. Red Dead Redemption 2 is supposed to be like 5 times as big as the first one, and I saw a map. And it's like, it reminds me kind of Westworld, where you're like, this is where the first Red Dead took place, and then this is where the whole new thing. So it's like, in the idea, and I'm like, well, in Grand Theft Auto, you can do planes, you can do cars. Yeah. This one, you're like on horseback. Like, that's a lot of ground to cover, so a lot of gameplay. Whether it's a prequel or a sequel is yet to be seen, but we know that it's going to be dope. And I feel like, I think I'm all in on this one. I mean, you're not really, are you playing Grand Theft Auto yet?
Man, like, you already know my philosophy on that. Like, in the inner child of me wants to, but the responsible adult of me doesn't allow me to.
Especially games like this, like Fallout.
It requires so much time.
Grand Theft Auto, when you're talking about the entire world, and you spend like 17 hours, and you're like, you've done 1/18 millionth of the game.
Right.
You know, like, you can literally spend hours and hours and hours and not do anything. And those are the games of life sucker. But this one I'm looking very forward to, especially after, you know, Magnificent Seven. All this, I've kind of got my little Western on.
Yes, sir.
That's all we got, I think. I don't know. I think that's all we got. Anything else you want to add?
Nah, man. I know that, you know, South by Southwest is kicking up. I'm interested to see what the tech news is going to be from the festival.
Yep.
And I don't know. We talked kind of briefly last week about Get Out. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
No, I'm wanting to see that today, actually, but I don't have all the time, given sort of the things that have to be done today. Exactly. But I hope to see it. I do want to, one last thing I do want to mention is just sort of the fallout from the Oscar situation, with the Moonlight situation. I think that there's been some interesting sort of take on it in MTV News by my man Ira. I can't remember his name. Black dude named Ira. But and he was sort of just commenting on the fact how it's just sort of a metaphor for him on how we always sort of have to share the space, you know, as people, like, even when we win, we're still sharing the space, and all the talk afterwards has just been about how heroic Horowitz was, and like, and how gracious he was. And he made the analogy, like, if you're sitting in someone's seat in the airplane, you're not gracious for giving that seat up. You could have kept it, but it's not your seat. You give it up. You don't need a medal for it. Also, you know, it takes away from, this is the first LGBT movie of all ever to win, and we're not talking about that. It's only the second sort of black movie to win. We're not talking about that. It's the first American director,
right?
You know, I mean, no offense to Steve McQueen, to win. We're not talking about that. I mean,
and the supporting male actor, was the first time a Muslim has ever won an Academy Award.
Yes, exactly. Over Mahershala Ali, right. Like, first time a Muslim ever won an Academy Award. So, but you know, we can talk about my man Hershowitz graciously handing it off all day. Yeah, it's just interesting how all that coverage has gone. So hopefully we can do some course correction in that and Barry Jenkins. Oh, the last thing is, Variety had their cover come out, and they do the same thing. They usually have the best director, but they make some exceptions. But to have, you know, my man Damien Chazelle on the cover, you know, in a historic time like this, it kind of feels a little off. I mean, and full disclosure, Damien Chazelle did feel bad about it and asked Barry to join him on the cover, but it's like, come on, Variety. Anyway, that's all I got to say. Thanks for joining us, Akili. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, @AKILISHINE. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell, and doing other shows on our sister networks, After Buzz, that is Blacklist Redemption, and Base Motel. Thank you for joining us. We will see you all next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us @BHLOnline. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.